Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to the CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today Marisa Germanario, who's the Assistant Director of Undergraduate Admissions at Duquesne University. Marisa, I'm so happy to have you here today. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me. I know we talked a little bit earlier about how this is one of the most fun things I've gotten to do professionally so far. So super excited to be here.
Well, we actually met on LinkedIn. I saw you taking a selfie with all of your new students at, you know, an accepted day orientation. I said, I have to get Marisa on the podcast. So I'm so happy that you accepted. So Marisa, let me ask you to just give us a brief introduction about yourself. How long have you been in admissions and how did you end up in such a position?
I'll try not to talk too much about myself because I'm sure I could take up the whole time if you let me. But a little bit about myself. So I am a Pittsburgh native, which if listeners don't know, that is where Duquesne University is located in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I've lived here my whole life and actually am a graduate of Duquesne University. I was there from 2015 to 2019. During my undergrad, I was actually studying secondary English education. So my game plan my whole life was, you know, to be that high school English teacher that was changing lives that everyone connected with. But when I graduated from college, I taught for about a year and a half. I was actually in a special education setting. So that's what I was doing right before COVID. And then COVID happened. You know, we kind of took a break from the schools. We weren't actively, you know, inside of the building. So I took a step back and I was like, maybe, you know, I'll go to grad school, I'll get a master's, and Duquesne just happened to have a master's in higher ed administration. And when I was in undergrad, I was a work study student. So I worked in our school of law. So I kind of got introduced to higher education way back then when I was just a student. And so I've been kind of doing this now. I'm almost on my 2-year mark. So my second cycle in admissions. It's a great place to work. I absolutely love what I do. I never thought that this would be where I ended up, but I feel like everyone I talk to in the profession and, you know, through networking, they kind of say the same thing, that they never, you know, dreamed every single day when they woke up as a kid that they would be working in college admissions. But here we are, we're happy and we're excited about the work that we do. So it's a little bit about me.
That's awesome. And you hear it over and over again, exactly that very statement that a lot of people in admissions never thought as a child that they were going to go into this field. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Duquesne is very lucky to have you. Not only are you working in their office of admissions, you're an alum, so that's fantastic. So in terms of you working in the office and being an alum, what would you say sets Duquesne apart from other institutions? And what aspects of the university do you believe make it attractive to so many prospective students?
Thank you for asking. I feel like that's my favorite question to talk to everyone out, because I do have, you know, that insider student perspective, but also now just a young woman working here at Duquesne. So I can see a little bit of both sides. But I feel like regardless of the perspective I take, I feel like location, academic programs, and then a sense of community is kind of what I always boil it down to that makes us so attractive to students and their families. As far as location goes, like I mentioned, we are in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So anyone that has, you know, been in the city, we are right in downtown, which is the hustle and bustle of everything that is all things Pittsburgh. We are actually located right across the street from where the Pittsburgh Penguins play at PPG Paints Arena. So the Pittsburgh Penguins are our hockey team, but it's also a major venue. 2 weeks ago, I went to the Zach Bryan concert, and that was cool. Really excited. So a lot of big major venues and different, you know, artists come there. So Harry Styles was here for 3 nights, and that's where everyone went crazy, at least our students on campus. So that's something to do. We're right in downtown where BNY Mellon is. There's a Google Center here, Amazon. So when we're talking about opportunities for internships and things to do as far as jobs, and once you graduate, that's all central to campus within walking distance. Everything for students to do within the city of Pittsburgh, just because of Pittsburgh being smaller. It's not like Philly. It's not like New York. It's not as intimidating as those major cities. I like to tell students when I'm talking to them where maybe they aren't familiar with the city of Pittsburgh, that it truly is like a good young professional starter city, because everyone here is a little bit younger because there are so many colleges in the area that the mindset is a little bit more academically focused and entering into the world a little bit in that facet. So I do think it's a great city for college in general, and especially where we're located. And then as far as academic programs, we have over 10 schools of study here on campus, which I feel like for the size of our campus, you'd be kind of surprised how much we have to offer. So I would say when you walk across campus, it's about a 10-minute walk, maybe 15 if you walk a little bit slower, you see a squirrel and you kind of want to pay attention over there. But it's a 10-minute walk back and forth, 10 different schools. But eight of them are more so our undergraduate schools. And then we have our Thomas Klein School of Law, and then our new College of Osteopathic Medicine that's coming next year in 2024. So, you know, big things are happening here. I feel like as far as the programs undergrad, we have about 85 plus majors now at this point. We also have a lot of direct entry programs, which if you have any questions about those, I would love to go into detail about them. And then we also have, I believe, 120 plus graduate programs here on campus as well. So just shy of 9,000 students altogether. But as far as undergrad goes, for those listening, it's about 5,000 or so, I would say, for undergraduate population.
Well, that's terrific. It definitely sounds like you have something for everyone. And you mentioned the direct entry programs, and it sounded like you wanted to give us a little bit more. So why don't you take a minute or two and go ahead, Marisa, tell us about the direct entry programs and the opportunities afforded to your students.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like something that's important for listeners, that it's not just like a Duquesne thing, but a lot of your four-year private schools do get to offer these direct entry programs, which essentially, if you're looking into a profession or a career down the line where you know grad school is involved in that profession, you need to either get a master's or maybe a doctorate or a PhD, whatever it may be. These direct entry programs allow you to have that guaranteed seat starting your freshman year in graduate school. So one example I like to mention, because it's probably our most popular, most competitive program, is our physician assistant program. So we do have a five-year accelerated program for MPAS, which is the master's level. So if you apply as a freshman or accepted into one of our 40 seats, you have that guaranteed seat in, you know, PA school, which is amazing. And sometimes it can take a little bit longer for students that do different pathways, but we offer a lot through health sciences. So DPT, speech language pathology is another one. So there's a lot of opportunity. We also have our School of Pharmacy, which is a six-year PharmD program with scholarship opportunities as well. So I feel like that's something that students are drawn to. Just naturally, I feel like Gen Z is so fast paced in their thinking way more than I ever was a student, where they know exactly what they want to do. But on the flip side, we also cater to a lot of students who have absolutely no idea. So as much as half of our student population is in these direct entry programs, we do have what we call discover programs through each different school, where you can be an undecided major, but maybe you know, you're interested in business, your dad owns like maybe a car dealership or something, and you know that's kind of the footsteps you want to take, but you don't know if it's accounting, is it marketing, is it finance. You can kind of be, you know, undecided for a little bit, take some classes that we still graduate on time and get to explore different things. So I think we have a good mix of students that are super academic focused and those that are, you know, still trying to figure it out, because I can't expect a 17-year-old to know exactly what they want to do. And I don't want to pressure anybody to know either, because you never know where you'll end up. Maybe, you know, even yourself, you'll be a principal for a while, but maybe there's the next step. And so you just never know.
You're hysterical. That's awesome, man. It's great that you have so many programs where students can explore. Like you said, if you go into the direct entry program, that's fantastic. You have so many choices. But if you're undecided, it also sounds like there's a lot of opportunities for students. And of course, being in the downtown great city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I would imagine that there's a lot of internship opportunities. You mentioned the arena right across the street. So what can you tell us about student life at Duquesne? In other words, what do students typically do when classes are over and those great weekends come around?
Great question. So there's a lot going on. I know we kind of touched on like opportunities in the city, just where we are in downtown. And that's definitely something we recognize. But Pittsburgh has so many interesting places you can go to, whether it's a cultural district, maybe it's Lawrenceville, which is like, I tell students, more of like the hipster side of Pittsburgh. There's some coffee shops over there, thrift stores, all of that good stuff. But there's just our strip district as well. There's outdoor shopping malls, there's museums, and, you know, different places to go to learn as well. And we do offer free transportation for our students. So we have an SGA sponsored loop bus. So it's just for Duquesne students. It runs on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I believe it's from like 5 p.m. till 2 a.m. You know, not that we expect anyone to be out that late. But we do have that late night option for our students to get home safe. So you get to go wherever you would like, honestly, for free. Sometimes it stops where a lot of our commuter students live, so you can always see your friends as well. So there's opportunities in Pittsburgh. But we also do, I believe at this point now, we just upped it. It's 275 clubs and organizations here on campus. So there's something really for everyone. I know our students are super involved. Every semester when you're trying to think about, well, what clubs do I want to join? Is it sports? Is it more focused on my major? Is it maybe more service oriented? Because community service is huge here at Duquesne. It's a part of our mission. Have you ever seen Pitch Perfect by chance?
I have, but many, many years ago.
Many times. So when they have that fair where everyone's signing up for clubs and they're thinking about, you know, joining an acapella group, that is so true to Duquesne. Our main sidewalk, which is a walk on campus that, you know, is that 10-minute walk back and forth. It's set up very much like Pitch Perfect, where you can sign up for things you're interested in. It's not a huge commitment either. So it's like you're not selling, you know, yourself to this thing forever. Sign up for what you feel like. You'll get on the email list and you can attend what you want to. I always say join something that's going to give you something for free at first. See if you like it, if you just aren't sure how to get involved. But like I said, there's Greek life, whether it's professional, maybe it's social. I think about 33% of our student body does social Greek life. So it's not as popular here, but it's definitely present. And then there's sports. So we have Division I athletics as well as club and intramural sports. But then we have career focused things and community service, like I mentioned. But there's also things for everyone, like anime club, there's craft club. We even have squirrel watching because our campus does have so many green spaces in the city. I feel like they all kind of flock to this central location. So we have students outside, you know, on what we call Rooney Beach, which is our football field. Just watching the squirrels go by and giving them some snacks. But there's a lot to do. I would say you'll find your fit. And regardless of where students go, I would say take a look at those activities for sure.
Well, it definitely sounds awesome. And you've done an amazing job just giving an overview of all of the great things that you could do in your classrooms with all of the academic offerings, but also outside of your classrooms in terms of recreation and everything else that you mentioned. So one of the things, obviously, that the listeners are really interested in is that application review process. So, Marisa, could you walk us through the general process of how applications are reviewed at Duquesne, including the key factors you consider when evaluating applicants?
Perfect. So when we are reviewing applications here at Duquesne, we aren't just reviewing for general admission to the university. You are applying for specific programs and we are accepting you into those specific programs. So I feel like every university can be different in that way. So I do like to mention that transparency, that when you select that major, if you get an acceptance letter, you know, you are immediately in that program. But we do use a holistic approach here at Duquesne. So it's a cohesive application where you send in transcripts so we can see your grades and classes you've taken. We're also looking at test scores if you submit them. We are a test optional school. I don't really see that changing anytime soon. But it's definitely a piece that we'll review, you know, if you choose to send them to us. There's also essays, whether you put it in the Common App or you're sending us something outside, whether it's to my email to review. So all of these things plus letters of recommendation go into the review process for these programs. But I will say essays are so important just because it helps contextualize what the transcript is telling us, because there's a lot of assuming I feel like that goes on in admissions where it's like, okay, A's and B's in these classes, we can kind of guess that a student will perform well at the college level. But for some students, you know, maybe A's and B's weren't possible. I mean, a lot of schooling was online. It was a very challenging time. And I can assume that, but it means so much more when a student does mention that, you know, online learning was hard, or a lot of our students, you know, had during the pandemic, you know, had to take care of their siblings, make sure they logged in to virtual classrooms. So it was hard for them to keep track of their stuff. And, you know, there's always something at home or whatever hardships we have going on. I won't know about them unless they're told to us. And I know that puts students in a very vulnerable spot to share that information, but it really is so important. So it just really helps, you know, contextualizing grades, but also getting to know them as a student, because I don't know what clubs, you know, that you're involved in, and maybe you have a part-time job as well. So unless you tell me, I won't know. But I don't know if I mentioned there's a couple different ways you could, even just taking it way back to the beginning, even apply to Duquesne. So we are on the Common App. We also have a free application, you know, on our website as well. We're on SCORE. There's a couple other ones that we're available on. All of them are free, but I feel like Common App and our website are the most popular options. So nothing looks different on my end, whatever you choose to apply. We're not biased what you pick. I get the same information. So honestly, if you're applying to like 3, 5, 10, maybe 25 plus schools, just use the Common App, make your life easy. No need to fill out that many applications.
Well, that's awesome. And I agree completely. Just use the Common App. It definitely has helped to streamline the process. And you mentioned all of your different schools. So Marisa, does the application review process differ if applying to one of your many great schools? In other words, if I'm applying to your School of Music, do I need to audition or submit a video to be considered?
Yes. So admissions, we have like our general standards, you know, that we're kind of searching through applications to, you know, look at those qualifications for. But it can vary whether it's school by school or program to program. So, for example, those direct entry programs, because you're getting, you know, your bachelor's degree, possibly a master's or a doctorate degree, depending on the program track. We are evaluating those a little bit more in-depthly, I would say, making sure, you know, if you want to be a doctor, we're going to need to see that you're good in the sciences, we're good at math. Even at, you know, the education level, if you want to be a high school math teacher, I would hope that you're good at math, you know what I mean? So there are things that we look for, and I don't want students, you know, to get freaked out or discouraged by that, but some standards can be different. But since you mentioned our School of Music, there is an additional step there. So in addition to a Common App or whatever application you submit to us, once you are provisionally accepted, you do get invited to audition and submit an audition portfolio. So what that comes from is our director in the School of Music kind of really lays out what are all of those directions, how do you submit it, who do you submit it to, and then auditions can either be in person or virtual. We do get a good handful of students from out of state. We don't expect, you know, Californian natives to, you know, fly out here for that one day audition. But we usually try to plan either admitted student events or open houses when those times are happening. That way, you know, you can get tours of campus. You can kind of do everything during one time. And in addition to that, after an audition is when you get your official acceptance letter. So you would receive an academic scholarship as well as, you know, an audition scholarship, too.
Well, that's terrific. And I was curious, what are the different ways to apply? In other words, early decision, early action. And is there a benefit to applying one way over the other, including not only being accepted, but including merit scholarships?
Mm-hmm. So there are two different tracks, admissions tracks or plans, if you will, that students can apply for. The deadlines tend to be the same year to year. Unless that day falls on a weekend, then we would never make things due on a day that we're not here in the office. But we do early action and then regular decision. So just to, you know, go over, I'm sure if listeners have heard all the episodes, they know the difference. But early action is a little bit different than early decision. So with early action, you're just applying early. You're giving us an indication that you are interested in these programs and you want that guaranteed seat, right? Whereas if you apply somewhere else, that might be early decision. It's kind of got that binding contract with it. We don't have that binding contract. We want us to be your best choice because you're choosing us. We don't want to force your hand into anything. By all means, hear back from your dream schools and then make the best decision for yourself. But that deadline is typically November 15th. Again, unless that falls on a weekend, then we kind of adjust. And then regular decision usually goes through January 15th. And that's on a rolling admissions basis, but we tend to release admissions decisions biweekly on Fridays. So getting a decision back, it could be 2 weeks, but it might be three if you applied, you know, by happenstance during a release week and it wasn't read in time. But we do try to keep that 2 week window out to our students just so they can hear back from us as soon as possible. But no binding contracts. May 1 is always our commitment deadline, and scholarship opportunities, I believe you mentioned as well. So again, applying early since there is no binding contract. All it does is, again, show us your interest. You want that guaranteed seat, but it also provides you plenty of time to apply for additional scholarships. So every accepted student here at Duquesne, regardless of where they're from or what program they've been accepted to, they're given a merit-based scholarship right on that acceptance letter. Our current ranges are $11,000 up to $27,000 per year. And so when you think about those direct entry programs, pharmacy gets that scholarship for all 6 years, which is amazing. Some of them get it for undergrad and then per credit at the graduate level is discounted for being in that direct entry program. But every student gets a merit-based scholarship, merit-based meaning it's based on academics, whether it's just the GPA, maybe you submitted test scores because they were in a very high range. So there's all kinds of things. And then we have what I like to call, quote unquote, heavyweight scholarships that students can apply for. And this is where applying early helps, right? Because you have that opportunity to apply for bigger scholarships that are either full tuition or full need. So those usually have a matching deadline of that January 15th. So you'll get your acceptance letter early, and then you have plenty of time to submit those applications as well.
Well, I appreciate that overview. And, you know, I always put the Office of Undergraduate Admission in the show notes. Marisa, if there's anything else that you want me to include in terms of your scholarships or anything else, just provide it to me. And of course, we'll make it available to the students and their parents in the show notes. Now, the overall number of applications schools are receiving, of course, is on the rise for many reasons, including what we talked about earlier, how the Common App has streamlined the process. Mm-hmm. With an increase in applications, how do you determine, Marisa, how many students to accept or even deny when you don't necessarily know how many of the accepted students are actually going to attend?
Great question. I feel like it would be an amazing issue to have if we had more admitted students that wanted to come here, you know, than beds for them. I think that would be an amazing problem to have. But this past year, which would have been for our fall 2023 class, we did actually have a record-breaking application year. I believe we received just shy of 13,000 applications, which for a school our size is just astronomical, if you will. So we do maintain things like a wait list. We have different admissions options. So let's say if you applied early action, you're on the wait list, you know, when it comes time for regular decision, you're going to be reevaluated. You'll have some senior grades at that point. We can kind of take another look and see where you fall as far as admissions qualification goes. So we always have waitlisted communication going out to our students, what we're looking for, personal outreach and things like that. We also at Duquesne have what we like to call a reject offer other, which I feel like is interesting. I don't know that every school does this, but I think a perk of, you know, applying to those smaller schools, if maybe you weren't admissible for the, you know, direct physical therapy DPT program, but you still have really good scores, maybe we can admit you to something more like a four-year health science program where then you can be qualified and reapply into graduate school, maybe with us or somewhere else. So we want to keep our students, you know, who are qualified and we do believe will be successful here with us. So I think, again, it would be a great problem to have, but just maintaining, you know, students that are qualified, making sure they get their best fit of a program here at Duquesne is kind of how we manage that capacity.
Well, I appreciate that. And you mentioned, I just want to make sure I got it right. It's called the reject offer other.
That's what we call it internally. I don't know what the masses might call that, but I know that's what I refer to it as. And so we also have what we like to refer to as internally and a little bit externally, it is on our website, is our Spiriton program. So Duquesne University is a private school, yes, but it's also Catholic and founding in the tradition of Spiriton. And they're mostly service and mission based. So giving opportunity to those that maybe at the time when they came here in 1878 was more disadvantaged or underprivileged communities. But for now, it's serving our students who us as readers, admissions counselors, see the passion in a student, see the motivation, and maybe on paper, it's not where you would think traditionally it should be, but we see that drive in a student. We got to know you at visits. We went to your high school. We know where you're coming from. There's an opportunity to start in the summer, get your GPA up, and then start right in the program that you applied for. So we definitely take a lot of good care of our students.
Well, you definitely take a lot of good care, and I'm sure you take a lot of care in terms of reviewing the application. And when doing so, obviously, the transcript is an important piece in terms of seeing how the potential student did academically while in high school to determine how they're going to do once they're on your campus. So what are you looking for when reviewing an applicant's transcript, and how does it differ based on their intended major or the school within the university they are applying to?
So when we're reviewing a transcript, it can vary depending on, you know, what major or program a student is applying for. So, for example, if you're interested in our accelerated, you know, physician assistant program, obviously strong grades in, you know, maths and sciences are important, but also, you know, maintaining good grades in your other subjects as well really helps you stand out and helps us contextualize your transcript. I will say, as though it does vary, a lot of students follow up and they're like, well, great, but I feel like everyone else that applies for this program has a 4.0. They also have really good test scores. So like, what makes me different? And that is such a good question when students ask that. Last cycle, so for fall 2023, I had a student that asked me that question and I was like, well, what would you want to put on there that you feel like you would hesitate to put on your application? And he was like, well, I went to this summer camp, you know, and it was surgery based and I got to do all these cool things. And I was like, great, write it down. He was like, to write an essay about it just like feels weird. Like, I don't want to be gloating or something. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, did you take pictures? And he was like, yeah, I took a lot of pictures. I was like, make me a collage. Like, we'll submit that. So yes, it's your grades, but it's like, what opportunities did you have? And, you know, brag about them if you have them. I feel like a lot of students are bashful in that way where they don't think they should be talking about how great they are. But if you don't tell me how great you are, how am I going to know? But on the flip side, if you're someone that's like, I don't think I have anything that, you know, quote unquote, makes me special, and that always upsets me when students say that, because like they all are special. It's like, dig deeper, you know, what would community members say about you? What would your boss say about you? I feel like those are great ways and things that we can add on to an application. Cause I mean, as long as it's downloadable to a computer, I can add it to an application. So it can be literally anything.
Well, I think that's great advice. And it goes to show that if you do not tell the admissions rep students about all the great things that you do, you're really leaving it up to them to speculate about, you know, whatever it is that's going on. So, for example, if you have a job or you're taking care of an elderly relative, if you don't let the admissions representatives know, they might not understand that that's the reason why you're not in 3, 4, mm-hmm. 5 clubs in your high school, because, again, you're either taking care of an elderly relative, a sibling, or maybe you have a job after school, which is something that's really important because so many leadership skills are learned during that time at work. So I appreciate you saying that. And I know that you receive applications from thousands of high schools throughout the country and beyond. When reviewing applications from so many different schools, how do you take into account when one offers its students all the APs or IB courses imaginable, while another high school simply does not? So how does the application process differ for students from these varying high schools?
Yeah, I think it's important to talk about that subject, because when you're reading applications, you know, for students in every single state, things can be a little bit different. And I think it kind of boils down to two things. When colleges are recruiting, a little insider thing here, we do different territories and we manage them. So territories being more geographically, you know, divided. So for example, I have, you know, Northeastern Pennsylvania on my caseload. So every student that's from, you know, like State College, everything that touches New York, New Jersey, except that little spot of Philly, we have our own person for that. Just understanding where students coming from, I think that makes a really good territory manager when you understand the culture of those areas. Like, what is the mindset? Is it more academic focused, or is it more, I want to be straight into the career focused? I think it also helps to know, you know, what are those top public schools that have, you know, a graduating class of 1,000 students versus the Catholic school that maybe has 35. I know when I was in high school, I fell more on the second or the latter half of that spectrum. So I kind of came into the profession not even realizing how many opportunities students had, because I just never had them. But we also have, in addition to just understanding, you know, is a student from West Virginia different than the needs of the student from the Midwest or the state of California, or even just, you know, 10 minutes down the road. We also have a feature when we're reading applications in our database. It's called Landscape. And high school counselors, when they're sending transcripts, also send the school profile. So the school profile is downloaded into there, and I can see, you know, how many AP classes are offered. Is dual enrollment popular at that school? And if so, where are they taking them? There's also a little bit of socioeconomic background on there. There's crime rates of maybe a town. So you can really see where a student comes from. And again, you know, I'm looking at those sections, but if there's a story you want to tell about where you come from that you think, you know, is an exceptional story and things like that, I think that's an amazing story to tell. But we do get data, so that's really helpful too. And then I do think actually physically going to these high schools and seeing where students come from is so helpful when you're reading their applications as well.
Well, we appreciate that. And another question that I have is about demonstrating interest. So if a student sees you at the high school visit, if they come on campus and they're able to see you there, is this something that you track and is it ever used throughout your application review process?
Absolutely. It's so important to talk to your college reps when they visit your school, whether it's at a big planned college fair, or maybe it's just, you know, we got the table set up at lunch and you want to talk to your friends during lunch, and we totally get that, but you could say hi to us at least. Every rep has, you know, what we call inquiry cards on a table, and you might perceive it as us begging for your information because we're never going to leave you alone again. But it does show an interest. And I think it's admirable when you are able to, you know, reach out to an adult and talk to them. I think that shows a lot about a student and who they are, whether like being personable and having that quote unquote mature approach to a situation. So I do think it shows a lot. We do track that information. So whenever I visit a school, I put all that data of every student I talk to. If I can remember something about a student, I write it down immediately on the card they hand me because I want to reach out. You know, I'm someone where if I go to your high school, by the time I get right back in my car to drive to the next place, I've already texted you and said, I'm so happy that we talked today. Here's my number. Save it. If you need anything, please talk to me. So I think that's really helpful too, to the college process, because then it feels like, you know, we're in this together. Like, I'm here to help you, but I can't help until you give me the question that you need answered. otherwise, I'm just blowing up your phone and nobody wants that. But definitely something we track again, whether it's a high school visit or a college fair. And it's a way that we will remember you. And so when it comes time to apply, like, we've already had conversations. I know what your end goal is. I know what your bigger goals are. So it all ties together. I promise we don't make any students do anything that's not important, but it might feel that way when you're 16. So I get that too.
So you heard it here, students. You definitely want to demonstrate your interest if you're applying to Duquesne. So we appreciate that. And of course, you mentioned earlier that Duquesne, like many other schools, is in fact test optional. Can you share the percentage of students that were admitted who did not submit test scores? And I know that you mentioned it earlier, but elaborate, where do you see the test optional movement going in the future?
Yeah, so as far as test optional students, it has changed drastically, obviously, from the pandemic when students couldn't take tests. But in the last few years, it's coasted around that 65.7% of students are test optional. So at least as far as Duquesne's concerned, the trend is that students aren't submitting them. And I always tell students, you know, it's so hard when you're thinking about, well, what's a good test score and should I send it? Because that's always the follow-up question. And it's hard because the data is going to show you really high test scores, whether it's SATs or ACTs. And that's just because those that are submitting test scores have really good ones and they're super proud of them. But as far as just like averages, each category, so math and reading, usually Duquesne students, when I checked my report, the last couple of years have had in the 600s or higher. So that cumulative score tends to be around a 1280 SAT. But again, that's just those that want to report it. That's not necessarily to say that's what we're looking for. That's just like what the middle 50 of students are submitting. So again, we can transition right into a GPA where, you know, the average of our applicants that choose to come to Duquesne have a 3.8. But again, that's not to say that's what our standard is. That just happens to be how our applicants perform. But we are test optional for now. We have been. I don't see that changing. It makes me really happy because I know I was not a good test taker and I would have hated to have been judged even more harshly than I feel like I was with mine. But we also on the flip side have some students who test really well, but maybe the GPA, maybe no one from their high school goes to college. And so they were like, well, why would I? And then they kind of got that nudge from their counselor that was like, no, like you can do it, like apply to these schools. I have a student right now that applied, you know, with a GPA that, you know, at first glance might not have been my favorite one that I've seen this year. But with the super score, they have a 1430 SAT and I just simply can't ignore that. So definitely brings us back to how we have different options for our students here that are exceptional. Just sometimes when you have to contextualize things for us, it really helps me be an advocate.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you do super score, but also you talked about the mid 50 and how that number is skewed, right? Because as you said many times, only students that are scoring well are submitting. So if a student sees that mid 50 and it appears high at first, just remember, students, that there's a lot of students that are being admitted that haven't submitted test scores. So we appreciate that. And Marisa, what support does Duquesne offer its students to ensure that they continue to be successful once they're on your campus? I ask this question not only for students that may have had an IEP or a 504 plan while in high school, but for all of your students in general.
Yeah. So here at Duquesne, it really truly goes down to what our mission is. And our mission is to serve students in the mind, body, and spirit. And I feel like when we're serving our students, we really do meet those three qualifications pretty hard. As far as academic support, every student is given what we call a success coach here at Duquesne, which is just Duquesne lingo for an academic advisor. But, you know, we kind of put that success first, so we have a positive mindset there. So they help you with scheduling, keeping you on track with curriculum sheets, but also being, you know, a conduit if you do need, you know, a tutoring service. We also have a writing center on campus, which is, you know, a great resource for students that I wish they took more advantage of because it's English majors who are going to proofread a paper for you before you submit it. So things like that that can help you. Citations are hard. We all have to do it, but someone can help you with those. So every student has opportunities to academic help and support if they would need it. But as far as students that are in high school right now, maybe have 504 or IEPs, we do have our Center of Disability Services. So all of the students can reach out with any accommodations they had in high school, get those accommodations here at the college level. I know during syllabus week, so that first day of class, every professor is announcing that if you need accommodations, you know, please reach out to me, whether you want to do it privately or publicly, you know, is however you would like to handle that situation. But to let the professor know even, because yes, there's documentation, but they want to know, like, if it's just as simple as you need to sit by the door, by all means, just let your professor know that that is what you need. Or maybe your glass is broken, you don't live nearby and you're waiting for them to come in. Like, let your professor know that so we can help you. But we also have, you know, the Mind as well. So we have our center, well-being center here on campus. It's centralized right here in the library on campus, which is right in the middle of campus. So there's no shying away from it. Students are in and out of there all the time. So what the well-being center is free counseling services, whether it's a student, faculty, or staff member. So, you know, if I'm having a bad day, I am more than welcome to walk in there and get the support that I need. A lot of group therapy sessions do happen, especially when things are happening in the world, hot topics that students want to talk about, and they want that safe space to do it. So a lot of our students do take advantage of that as well. But on, you know, like the physical well-being side of everything, we also have a free gym here on campus that's open 24/7. It's in our power center, and student athletes, you know, the D1 athletes have their own gym, so you don't have to worry about running on a treadmill next to like the Olympic star or something. So that's always open. There's different fitness classes, which I feel like our students love the most. There's different things like self-defense. Girl Gains is my favorite club on campus. The girls are out there, you know, meeting their fitness goals and making friends for self-defense reasons and things like that. But there's also cycle and yoga, just different fun themed things. But there's also, you know, heavy weights. There's basketball, indoor, different tracks, anything you could possibly want for your fitness goals is here and right on campus for you. So everything you would need for, you know, academics, you know, overall well-being, whether it's fitness or it's, you know, mental health, definitely have those resources here for students too.
Well, I appreciate that. And I love how you talked about those student athletes. So speaking of the aspiring student athletes, how does the application process differ for them? And what advice would you provide in terms of making their intentions to play sports in college known?
Perfect. So I will say here at Duquesne, we do have several Division I athletics teams here on campus. And if we don't have the Division I sport, we do have club and intramural versions of those sports here. Very present. Most famously, this past weekend for the NCAA tournament, our men's basketball team actually won the Atlantic 10 Conference and just had their first bid into the March Madness tournament for the first time since, I believe I read, 1977. So amazing. We're all very excited. Their send-off is this upcoming Thursday. There's emails everywhere. There's amazing Spirit Day happening. So we do love our student athletes here on campus, but it's not just our men's basketball team. You know, our football team here is in the NEC conference, and they tend to win their conference every year. They just did this past year. The women's basketball team as well, special shout out to them, made it to the semifinals in the A-10 conference as well. New Division I athletics teams are coming, gymnastics, golf, tennis. You know, one of our tour guides actually just started an ice skating club. So we'll see how that goes. She's super excited about it. So there's all kinds of things happening. Another tour guide actually was on our men's soccer team. They were undefeated last year. He was the goalie. And I will say everyone loved when that was their tour guide because he was just so excited to talk about everything he was involved in. So as far as being a student athlete at Duquesne, yes, we have competitive sports that we excel in. But it's also possible to do academics at the same time. And I think that is so important because I know a lot of prospective athletes have that concern, or, you know, mostly their parents have that concern that it's like, great, my son's amazing at football, but he wants to get an MBA. Like, is this possible? Absolutely, it's possible. So because we're Division I, admissions doesn't necessarily play a role in the recruitment of a, you know, athlete at that level. Mm-hmm. However, on our website, we are allowed to recommend for those that aren't actively being recruited but would like to play that sport. You know, here at Duquesne, there's a prospective athlete form on our athletics page on our website that students can complete. So typically at a college fair, you know, someone walks up to my table and they're like, I play soccer. Do you have that? And I'm like, of course. And I'm like, give me your phone. And then I pull up the form for them. They kind of, I'm like, fill it out right now because you're not going to remember. We submit the form and I'm like, someone will reach out to you. So there's that option. And then every athletic team we have on that same page, all of the recruiters for each team, their contact info is right there and readily available for them. So again, definitely a growing sports population here at Duquesne. And we're super excited to have that school spirit finally.
Well, that's awesome. And I could tell that you definitely have a lot of school spirit. And as I said earlier, Duquesne is so lucky to have you, as were we on this episode.
Thank you.
Before I get to the last question, Marisa, I have to ask, is there a question that I didn't ask today or a topic that I just didn't bring up that you'd like to talk about now?
I feel like there's one topic I do want to mention just because I feel like it's a hot topic in the world and it's something that I'm talking to families about all the time. So for years to come, when people go back to this episode, hopefully everything with the FAFSA is handled by then. But I feel like we could tackle it just a little bit. We won't go too in depth, but in previous years, we know that the FAFSA opens up in October. Families can complete it at their leisure. And financial aid packages from different institutions go out, you know, right before the holidays, like Christmas, for example. This year is very different. We as an institution and others are still waiting for, you know, that financial information from the Department of Education. It's the middle of March. I'm hopeful that we'll get it soon. I keep that positive mindset. I don't know that everyone else is keeping it. But just knowing that Duquesne is here, we are willing to have financial planning conversations. I've only been doing it for 2 years, but having the support of my staff teaching me every possible thing I can learn about grants and how are those awarded? Like, what are the typical ranges? So creating these estimated merit-based packages has been something I never thought I would do for families and the students, but it is so helpful. And earning that trust from families, I think, at the end of the day, makes me feel great about what I'm doing. So if there are anyone or anyone out there that has applied to Duquesne or plans to apply, but maybe hasn't applied because they're like, well, I'm going to wait to apply to colleges, you know, once we know what's going on with financial aid. Just apply to those colleges. The colleges are trying to be helpful and we'll get you all the information you need. So just knowing that there are resources out there, even though the FAFSA is a little bit different this year. There's net price calculators on websites. I know ours is amazing. You input the answers to the questions about your family's financial situation, and it actually prints out what we like to internally call the shopping sheet because it's all the pricing and the cost of everything. But you get a downloadable PDF that has a cost breakdown, what aid we think you'll receive, you know, from the federal government versus what we think institutional aid you'll receive. It even makes this really nice graph that I think families appreciate so much because it shows a pie chart with a breakdown of what's coming from what, you know, whether it's the federal government or us, and then what was scholarship. And it has such an amazing breakdown. I'm like, where is this when I was in college trying to figure this out? So I think right now it's frustrating, but I think good things are coming from this for sure.
Well, I appreciate you mentioning that. And not only the FAFSA form, but the net price calculator, which every college or university is supposed to have on their website. I usually just tell people to do a simple Google search, net price calculator, Duquesne University, and it should bring you to that link.
Yep, so fill it right out.
Exactly. And Marisa, this has been a phenomenal conversation. Unfortunately, it does lead us to that last question, which is, what are your top three pieces of advice that you would give a student and their parents who are getting ready for the college admissions process?
Perfect. So we already kind of talked about applying early and just even before applying, just spark that interest. If you know that college is the option for you and that's the pathway you want to take, just start as early as possible. Start visiting colleges. I feel like the visit is so important. I talk to a lot of students and their family, and they're like, well, we don't want to visit somewhere we haven't even applied or been accepted to. So what? I feel like you'll know where you want to apply once you see it. It's one of those things where it's a magical moment where it's, you know, when you know, and sometimes that moment doesn't happen until you visit. So visiting colleges would be my number one thing and piece of advice for a student that was college bound, as well as trying to network. And I feel like networking has the connotation that that happens when I'm in my professional life. That doesn't happen sooner. But there's different resources. And for example, we partner with an organization called Zimi, which is a social media platform for college-bound students. I call it the LinkedIn for college students. But essentially, you make an account and there's questionnaires to learn more about yourself and learn about others. Kind of is like a dating app in that way where you're answering different questions about yourself, but it connects later on to finding a roommate and making friends. But essentially, you make your account and you follow different colleges. You know, there's SEC schools out there, your dream school's on there, we're on there, other small schools are on there. And you can start making friends and making that community before you ever step foot on campus. And I think that's so important because it'll help you branch out. So I feel like when I was, you know, a college bound student, I just looked locally because I was like, that's all that I'm aware of. That's all I feel safe doing. I don't know anyone. This is a great resource, and I think it's so important. Plus, there's different channels where you can talk to current students. I know our current students are on there answering questions that are like, you know, what computer should I buy? What's best for this class? Do you like this professor? But it's also questions like, how cold does it get in Pittsburgh? Or does it actually rain all the time? And, you know, answering that question is what our current students are there for. There's also Ask a Counselor chat, which I actually monitor. And I like to think I'm not as intimidating as, you know, having to pick up the phone or drafting an email that you reread a million times before you hit send. So it kind of brings a casual nature to it where you feel safe asking those questions. So joining things like that, I think, is crucial to the college searching process, especially nowadays. So I feel like that's another big piece of advice that I have. And then the last one we kind of touched on where it's, you know, check out those affordability resources that schools have, because you might think a school is out of reach, but it's really not once you count all of the aid that could potentially be coming in, plus your own credentials that got you merit-based awards as well. So checking out those resources is very helpful.
Well, those are tremendous resources. And I'm going to ask you for the second one. You said the LinkedIn for the incoming college students. If you could give me the link to that, because I definitely want to put that in the show notes, because this is the first time in so many episodes that it actually has come up. So I'm sure that there are people listening that would be interested in that, as am I, just to learn more about
it. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely got to get students on that app. And again, it's like, not just a Duquesne thing, it's for everyone.
Right.
So it's called Zeeme. It's Zeeme. It's like purple, orange, and pink in the App Store. So it's compatible, I believe, with Android and iPhone. No web version right now. Mm-hmm. I wish there was so I could do it at work, but I'm on my phone sometimes. And just everyone should know that it's because I'm actually on Zeeme. I'm not working.
Perfect. So it's an app, and it's Zeeme. Well, Marissa, again, thank you so much. This has been a great conversation. I'm so happy, as I know that it's going to help so many students and their parents as they navigate the college process. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. Duquesne is so lucky to have you, as were we. And I do hope to have you again in the future. Thank you so much.
All right, perfect. It was such a great time being here with you today. Thank you.
Well, the pleasure was all ours. And to everyone out there, good luck with the college search. Take care, everyone, and best wishes.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP.
Thank you for listening to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to PrepExpert.com to guarantee your child's success.